Welcome, everyone, to the Star City Murders podcast. My name is Axel. With me is our producer and star, Heath Sentazzo. And we're doing this little intro just to let you know that a lot of these podcasts were recorded a long time ago, right, Heath?
Yeah, back in 2020, when we first started pre-production, we started the Star City Murders companion podcast, mostly for our Kickstarter backers. When we were raising money for the film. So we're releasing those now so you can hear them. The public can hear them, right, Axel?
Yeah.
And we're going to be recording new pods too.
Yeah, we're going to get some new interviews. And as things go down, new news comes out. We just want to update everyone, make sure everyone's pre-ordering, ordering, and whenever you're listening to this, watching the Star City Murders. So stay tuned. We're going to be releasing them. We'll probably drop a couple, then wait a week, drop maybe one or two more. And then as we get to the wide release here on VOD, we will start recording new pods. And you can get a behind-the-scenes look from the people who made the movie.
Yeah, and right now you can pre-order it on iTunes, the Star City Murders on Apple TV and iTunes. And also April 16th is our release date. We'll be on Amazon Prime Video, Apple TV, of course, many satellite and cable providers. So you're going to have a chance to rent or buy the Star City Murders. And a lot of people have pre-ordered. So we've been doing pretty well in the bestseller list on Apple TV. So that's exciting. But I'm really looking forward, Axel, now that we got distribution and the movie's coming out, to get some of the cast on and creators and just start talking about this phase of the process.
Yep. It's going to be awesome. So enjoy the show, everyone. Stay subscribed. Check out Star City Murders. Pre-order it. Watch it. Be a part of it, baby. Welcome back to the Star City Murders Kickstarter podcast. This is episode 2. I'm your host, Axel Foley. As you know, our own Heath Sentazzo launched a Kickstarter campaign back in March of 2020, which seems like years ago right now, to secure funding for his new feature film, The Star City Murders. And those of you who have donated 50 or higher get this exclusive series of podcasts. We're going to be recording them throughout pre-production, production, and post-production phases of making this movie. We're also welcoming the patrons of the DVR Podcasting Network, baby, who band together to donate to help make this podcast happen. I'll be hosting the podcast along with my main man, Solo. And again, for those of you who don't know, who know Heath, he has been a podcaster for 10 years, and I call him Heath Solo, as do many other people, because he once did a podcast where he was all by himself, and he said, "It's me, Heath Solo." So it stuck. So I may refer to him as Solo from time to time. Now you know the whole story. All right, let's get to it. Solo, how you doing, buddy?
Doing well. Hope everyone's safe out there and being good. And I know times are tough, but we're going to go through this second pod to get our minds into another world. And that world is the world of filmmaking, baby. I'm excited for podcast number 2.
Yeah, this is going to be cool. We have a great guest. Heath, do you want to welcome our guest, or why don't you do the introduction?
All right. You know, there's times where we. I'm just kidding. Yes, our guest. It's our first special guest, Axel, on this series of pods. He is an executive producer of the film. Also one of my partners in CE Pictures, my production company. And he is Jeff Chili Mertz, baby. Welcome to the pod. How you doing, buddy?
It's great to be here. Great to be here. Thanks for that wonderful intro. Excited. First podcast ever. I have listened to your podcast before, both Axel and Solos, and pretty cool stuff. I know you guys are veterans at this, so I hope I don't screw it up too bad.
No.
Thanks, Axel, for letting me join. I know it's late for you in your time zone as well as mine, so hopefully this will be a successful cast.
Yeah, baby. Of course it will. We're just here to talk about this, and I'm interested to find out about how you guys connected and more about this film. But before we do that, and oh, I do want to say you are also a patron of the DVR Podcast Network, Jeff. Thank you.
I am. And yeah, I wanted to shout that out as well. I hope those who are listening who are not would consider donating. You know, I know times are tough during this pandemic, but you know, a couple of bucks here or there to help support you guys doing your pods, and you know, every little bit counts. So,
well, we appreciate it.
Yeah, just go to dvrpodcasts.com, or where is it, Axel? DVR Podcasts Patreon. I can never remember.
Patreon.com/DVR, baby.
Oh, glad that's you're it. Here.
But before we get into everything, last time out, there were a few backers that were unfortunately left off the list, and Solo is going to give them a shout out.
Yeah, when I imported the backer list from Kickstarter, it had at press time, it had just for some just had their just like guest numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 donated. And I figured out you have to click on it. And then I looked at emails, and that's when I could figure out who it was. There's a couple people I don't know personally, so I'll just read off your part of your email. But so I wanted to do that. So first off, my good buddy from high school, Virginia Tech's own. He was a pitcher at Virginia Tech in the 90s. My boy, Matt G-Man Lichtel, good friend of mine from Mechanicsburg, PA. I think he's down in Virginia living now or somewhere secret. But thanks, G-Man. Appreciate it. One of my dearest friends, you know, 30 years of friendship, came to my wedding. He just showed up. Oh, he told me like a week before, but he's a good man. And thank you, G. We got Bobby Vistos from Oregon. He's in my fantasy football league with Glenn, and I've been friends with him for, gosh, I guess 5, 6 years now. Good dude up from Oregon. He really, you know, he donated and then kind of got some other people to donate. He's, you know, great dude. So I want to give a shout out to Bob. And then this one, I don't know. It's KJFSKF1. I don't know who you are, but I love you. Thank you for donating. Chris Fletcher from the East Coast. Get Chris. And then we got Samir Madden, a.k.a. Sammy the Salmon. Good buddy of mine down near San Diego. Also a wedding. He came to my wedding as well. I think he left early before his song. There's a certain song. Jape John Ho. It's an Indian, cool Indian song. Sammy's Indian, but we love that song. We used to play it at the bar for him, and I just love that song. And I had it on the DJ request list for him, but he had to leave and go to work the next day, so he didn't get a dance to it. Anyway, and then we got J.E. Mertz, a.k.a. Brown Liquor Sinners, baby. Brother of our Jeff Chili Mertz, who's on the pod right now. And I believe from Brown Liquor Sinners, Jeff, Jonah Lee Wagoner, is he the lead singer?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, he was. Yes. Well, he still is in memory. Yeah. So, yeah, lots of backstory there with the Brown Liquor Sinners from the Outer Banks of North Carolina. And we can get into more details about that later. But as it turned out, the Brown Liquor Sinners never made it to your list because my brother entered his name instead, so it got a little confusing there.
It happens. It happens, Jeff. It happens.
Yeah, I know.
But wanted to make sure that we get those shout-outs and also – okay, so, Jeff, before we throw it back to Axel and figure some stuff out here and get our relationship going, what is – okay, so Brown Liquor Sinners and let me – hopefully I can pronounce it right. You will correct me. Menudo Cthudo Music. Cthudo? Did I say it right? Your brother's going to kill me. I love him. Okay. So I think I was calling it Cathedo. So I then I think a catheter.
Well, you know it's ancient Greek, okay? Ah. It's way back in the early Bible days, and it means to sleep, or it has, you know, to sleep or dream or sleeping. And there's a big story there about how that got started with the Brown Liquor Centers. But it's okay that you mispronounced it, because we've heard various different ways, and they're all funny in a way.
Oh,
one
God.
Of them was Cathwaito.
Cathwaito.
We must be looking at all the letters or something. I don't know.
Well, it's intimidating.
But that's okay. We got it straightened out now.
Yeah, it's intimidating. You look at it and you want to get it right, then your mind goes to different places. Like when I think of Axel at night when he's getting ready for bed, I think of all kinds of things. Wait, what?
Well, kid show.
Well, now you know. When you two are getting into REM sleep and starting to dream, think of Cthulhu, and you're there. So
it's all about Cthulhu.
I thought it was like Chithula, like that Lovecraft creature.
I have no idea what that is. Lovecraft baby.
I was thinking he was going to say Cholula, like hot sauce.
Hey, we could do a Star City Murders hot sauce, like Cthulhu hot sauce. I'm jumping ahead of myself. All right, Axel, we should probably get how the heck this guy, Jeff Chili Mertz, became part of the Star City Murders team. What do you think?
Well, weren't you going to talk about some kind of history of the Crystal View Lounge and the music and all that?
Yeah, let's do that. Okay, so Crystal View Lounge is a bar on the 18th floor in Burbank on top of a certain hotel, which is now going to be closed at least to 2021. But it's my little place where I tend some bar and play a lot of tunes. I play a lot of mixes that I make, playlists now, the kids call them. We used to call them mixtapes back in the day. And Jeff was staying at the hotel for business. And, you know, I'm going to let Jeff take it away. We met years ago at the hotel bar and became friends. I made a mix for him. I mean, not like
a
relationship way, but a lot of my patrons that come in, regulars, I like to find out their musical taste. So I would make like playlists for them. So when they come in, they can listen. And Jeff, one of the songs on his playlist, what's that song? Burn, Mother Effer, Burn. The roof is on fire. Yeah.
Yeah,
that one is tough.
The roof is on fire.
Yeah, that
fire,
one's tough because I try not to offend anyone with music. So I try to play songs that don't really have many cuss words. That was one on your playlist that I remember. I think you put it on the jukebox when we were in another bar temporarily, and there were kids.
I did.
And there were kids there, Jeff.
I did. The kids should not have been there. It's in a 21 and over establishment.
Yes,
but anyway.
Anyway, so Jeff, let's get from your point of view how we met. Hey, you know, really quick, and then we can get into the real good stuff with them.
I'm gonna dig back to March 2015 when I first went to the Crystal View.
Oh.
And yeah, I had just a few weeks earlier was at a conference and an after party. And some dude came up to me and he goes, "You look like Mandy Patinkin." And I almost died. And so fast forward a few weeks in the Crystal View Lounge, Heath was having his conversation with the regulars there. And I was the new guy in the block. And somehow it came up about doppelgangers. And he looked at me and he said, "Mandy Patinkin." And I almost fell on the floor because that was two people within a month that had said that. And so before Chili came about, I was Mandy P for a long time.
Yes, you were. Mandy
so
P.
Anyway, so then the
Carrie.
Playlist came about.
Carrie.
I did a lot of traveling out there to the power company in Burbank. So I became a regular and the playlist got started. So let me just backtrack real quick on the roof is on fire. There was a requirement by Solo that said you can only pick one song from one artist for your initial playlist. So I was going through my phone and I was coming up with all kinds of crazy stuff. And that happened to be one of them. And it just stuck. So it's here, five years later, we're still talking about it.
That is my playlist rule. You can't duplicate artists. Now, there is one loophole that I use because I'm a big Pearl Jam fan. Sometimes I'll have a playlist that has an Eddie Vedder solo track back and Pearl Jam the band. That's the way to get out of it. But yeah, I don't like to duplicate bands on my playlist. That's just my rule. Okay, everyone knows the playlist rule. Someday I'll do a podcast that I'll teach you how to make the perfect playlist. But that's for another day. All right, Cthulhu. So,
as it turns out, I never finished my playlist because the project ended. But I do have some notes here. I had to go back in time on my iMessage, and on October 31st, 2017, which was Halloween, which I had spent actually two Halloweens in a row in Burbank, solo bought a Cthulhu music clip off of iTunes that night. And there was actually two of us in the bar at that time. And the girl was some kind of artist or something, sitting by herself, writing a journal or something. And we played it and we liked it, and the rest is history.
Yeah, I think it was Rhiannon, one of my she's an artist musician. She used to come into the bar. I think that's who it is, who it was. I believe that she's awesome. She's got some good music. I gotta get a link to her stuff too. She's really talented. But anyway, so yeah, I remember you telling me about it, and I had to
buy. We are five so here we are 5 years later, and we're making a movie. Is that awesome or what?
It is fantastic, Jeff. Yeah, so as when I started the Kickstarter, of course, I had to tell Jeff, hey, you know, I'm doing a Kickstarter for a movie, and he donated. And then he started asking me a lot of questions, Axel, you know, just about filmmaking and what I'm doing, what's the budget. And lo and behold, we started talking a lot. Next thing you know, let's just say he became part of the company and really became an executive producer and wanted to throw in some other money to help fund this film, and which, thank you, Jeff. But not only that, it's kind of like we did a FaceTime. We kind of caught up because we hadn't actually seen each other in what, 2 years? Has it been 2 years or a year? Because you did come back.
It was actually November of 2018 was actually the last time.
We had a lot of
And you had told me you were working. You were working on a I don't remember if it was a script or if you said it was a screenplay or what the exact word was, but I was like, oh, that's interesting.
Yes,
because it was I knew Heath was in the business. So you'll find this interesting, Axel. I knew Heath was in the business, but he never promoted it. You know, he was there and he was just your friendly guy behind the bar, and he was very down to earth and wasn't cocky or arrogant or anything about I'm a film star and all this. And so it took several months to kind of get us to the rapport where, you know, we knew more stuff about each other and things like that. But, you know, it wasn't this big thing that just automatically turned on, you know, the first time I walked into the Crystal View Lounge. So, you know, I got to credit Heath for, you know, for his overall personality and attitude towards the whole thing. So that's, you know, was one of the drivers as to why I stayed in contact with him for all these years.
Oh, thank you, Jeff. That's very nice. Yeah, I don't like to.
Well, you're quite welcome.
Yeah, because that's like I'm there as a bartender. I'm there as like a neighborhood friend, serve drinks, get people excited, listen to music, all that. I don't like to bring, because, you know, everyone asks, oh, every bartender's, you know, an actor and whatever. And I just kind of, and then anyone could say, if you go, I'm an actor, and so I'm like, well, act like a bartender, get me a drink. But no, I like to, even though I've done a lot of work, I don't just come out and say it. I like you said, you get a rapport with someone and then it kind of comes out. And then people go to IMDb and go, oh, wow, you've been in some stuff. You've done this. And then we kind of – and then I explain, yeah, you can do 3 or 4 shows a year, but it's – you know, you got to still keep that second job. You know, you never know when you're going to, you know, not get work. So, yeah, when you came in, I was writing this film. And so it's funny how it went. But, yeah, just to finish up, Axel, we started talking, and then Jeff has become – such a huge part of this, getting this project off the ground. I mean, we've done so much, and he actually is a part of my company now. So we have this partnership, and it really, you know, we're both learning from each other because Jeff has his strengths, I have mine, and we're, you know, getting this going. And it's been real. I mean, through the Kickstarter, we had talked about last pod on how nerve wracking it was and stuff. Jeff was the one that was by my side every day. You know, we were talking about, oh, we got this donation, this is going on. So, I mean, he really got me through that. And we, you know, we continued our bond, if you will. And really, you know, things happen for a reason, and it's amazing. And I'm just very fortunate for Jeff to come on board, because it's all about keeping people together, people you trust. And I definitely trust this guy, even though, you know, he has like four aliases, but that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah. You know, I'm interested in finding out a little bit more about you, Jeff. What made you interested in becoming part of this film? Have you been in the business? Is it something that you're new to? Tell us a little bit about that.
That's a good question. Yeah. No, it's new to me. I've picked up a lot of stuff by reading, but my background to get started in all this was knowing Heath, knowing, you know, what how I trusted what he was doing, and a different opportunity for me. I like to kind of bounce around between different things. And my background is in IT, and I used to be a hardcore programmer for many, many years. And I started getting into the business side of things. So when I saw the Kickstarter, and I actually, you know, did some investigative work on Heath's company and how he filed and made sure he was doing things right in this great state of California. And I thought, you know, this could be something. I've done a few small businesses before and helped one of them grow to a pretty large company right now. And I thought I could probably use some of those skills and help my buddy Solo out and try and just get him, you know, steering down the right path. I know he needs to focus a lot on the script and the film and all the things that people do to make films. And I can support him. I hate when I say this. I'm going to support him in the back end.
Kid friendly show. That is a kid friendly show.
Well, tell us more about that, because I think people listening would be interested to hear what you mean about making sure everything's good with the state and all. Like, what are the actual? I mean, you may think that it's, you know, back end stuff, but I think that's just as interesting how you actually support the structure of making a film, because I think a lot of people don't realize that like each film is like starting a business, and technically that's what a lot of films are. It's a new endeavor every time there's a new production. So what are some of the things that you've had to do so far?
Yeah, absolutely. So well, the first thing I did was to make sure that he had some basic things going, you know, a bank account with his business name, and he was properly registered and things like that. And then we started talking about the film. I was like, okay, you can't just get a bunch of money and make a film. You know, you got to have a budget. Do you have a budget? Well, yeah, we're kind of working on one. Okay, let me see it. And I looked at it, and I'm like, oh my gosh. So I fired off an email with about, I don't know, a dozen questions, and Solo answered about three of them and said, the rest is all good.
What did you find that, without, you know, you don't have to get into specifics, but what makes up a film budget? Like, you're talking about how much you're gonna pay actors, rent equipment, what type of line items are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. And one of them that was actually left off was catering, which I didn't even see at first. And Solo said, oh, we forgot about food. I was like, oh man.
A lot.
But yeah. And then you get into things like, contracts with the union and SAG and some other things that you need to set up. There's also different ways people get paid. So, sometimes, you know, they get the day rate. Sometimes they're going to take, I guess what you call points on the back end. Is that right, Heath?
Yeah. Pretty much like a small percentage Like if someone's not get, like our director's not getting paid, but he's got a percentage of the back end. And there's some, you know, we're working all that out. We don't want to do too many deferment. I mean, there might be some deferred, but mostly everyone, well, definitely cast and crew are getting paid. You know, it's not the biggest rate, but it's under the SAG New Media contract, which, like Jess said, we're working on. Once we go through and get finalize our cast lists, then I have to go to SAG, say we want to employ this amount of actors these days, and then we have to work on you know, the budget with that. But we basically did a rough overview that we sent to Jeff. Yeah, some things we had to fix, of course. It was quickly done, but we're now working on a more detailed one now that the script is completely finished and all that. But we'll get to that coming up. But go ahead, Jeff.
We're getting ahead of ourselves, but yeah, Axel, a lot of line details, and this stuff is pretty much industry standard stuff. So the first thing I did was I built myself a spreadsheet. I took some numbers and plugged them in. I did some research. There's actually companies out there that help people with this kind of stuff, and so you know, that's kind of my legwork on the back end is to make sure I understand all the different pieces and parts that go into this. So that I can, you know, I'm not an expert, but at least I can ask the right kind of questions and joggle Solo's mind.
And I'm sure that includes
like the mind hunters do.
I'm sure that includes like the Kickstarter too, right? Because as that money comes in, you have to say, okay, this much is going to this. And then of course you have to figure out, I mean, even things like doing this podcast or that kind of, that becomes a part of the whole production.
Absolutely. Well. And any investors that you might want to get involved that don't want to be part of the company, they're going to get paid back a certain way. So, I mean, one of the things that I did before we came to this agreement was I ran a bunch of numbers and said, well, if I gave X amount of dollars, what would it take the movie to make for me to see that back? And you get to a certain point where you're like, you know, that doesn't really matter anymore. I'm looking towards the future. And so this thing is just the beginning of what CE Pictures will do. So I made the decision to say I'd rather be in it for the long haul and see a couple of projects through and see how this plays out. And I'm not just going to give, you know, $500 and walk away. Yeah. So that was kind of the whole mindset behind it.
Well, that's interesting too. And that's going to follow through, I'm sure. I mean, after this thing is shot and cut and ready to go, and then it continues on to projecting costs for like film festivals and post-production and things of that nature all the way through. Because I just think that, for me, I always thought that was an interesting part of filmmaking too, is, you know, everyone thinks about it being on a set, like when they think about coronavirus now, and people are like, oh, well, can't they just get like two people and a camera? Well, you need a lot more than that to make a movie. When you watch the credits, that all those people in the credits aren't just doing CGI. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of different jobs and thing, you know, and part of what you have to do is like oversee that and make sure that it's running smoothly, because sometimes when that's not, it can affect what is on the camera most of the time. So, you know, like I'm saying, you have to have that kind of foundation for the film itself.
Yeah, and we'll talk about the script in a bit, but I was a little thrown off by we're redoing, you know, a lot of the script, and I thought, well, hey, don't you need that before this even happens? But apparently not.
No, and that's what true do you too. Well, improvisation and moving through things and things changing. Like, you think about it this way, when a script changes, you wouldn't think that once you shot it, the movie was done. You still have to edit it. Right. And once you do one edit, that's not done.
Yeah.
You have to re-edit it. So the script is just like that. Every phase of filmmaking, you have to be open to completely changing things once the production begins. It's more about the spirit of it, you know?
Yeah, and as we just talked about, all of that trickles down all the way through the rest of the filmmaking process. So your actors change, your locations change, all that affects, you know, how many crew you need, what your budget's going to be, how it changes, all that. And that's where we get into all the nitty gritty stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a part of rewriting the script also, knowing what our budget is, knowing how we got to, you know, to save money. Not only the script rewrite was because it started out as like this buddy cop kind of comedy horror to, you know, a serial killer thriller. We did a lot of, we got rid of a lot of unnecessary characters. We changed locations because it's like, okay, we can shoot here, but it's going to cost us to do that. Like, perfect example, we had a scene where there was a press conference, okay? But the information that we're getting out of the press conference was, we got some stuff, but it wasn't like one of those necessary scenes we needed. So we got rid of the press conference, which would be an extra day of shooting, an extra, you know, cash and, you know, characters and, you know, actors, everything. And we decided in a scene that we have to keep, we mention the press conference and give the information we need in that scene. And it helps it move. So little things like that, me and Giles, our director, have been working on is, you know, getting the script a little more fine-tuned, because when we take apart the script, we're going to be like, okay, we can shoot this. We don't just shoot everything in order. We shoot based on location and actor availability. So, like, we know we're going to shoot inside a warehouse, outside a warehouse. Well, we want to shoot that at one time. So maybe it's 2 or 3 days at a warehouse. You know, so it's – so, again, and I want to address real quick the forgetting of catering. It kind of sounded like I was putting stuff together.
Solo didn't want to feed anybody.
You know, I'm not going to throw anyone under the bus. I take responsibility as one of the executive producers. But yes, it was factored in, but not factored in. But we got it fixed. And actually, Axel, that's the great thing about Jeff was, I mean, it's nice having someone, not only like with writing the script, and then I have my producer, Nick Simotis, my director, Giles Andrews, come in, you know, giving me notes and saying, hey, we should do this with Jeff, like on the backside, his favorite part. But no, seriously, he comes in with a lot of these questions. It was nice him being a businessman, but not necessarily knowing everything about film. So he's asking me these questions. And, you know, for me, it's just like, I, you know, not that I assume he would know, but it's nice to bring that up and talk about them, because we've been able to, even little things like that. Hey, I don't see the catering number doesn't add up. Oh, shoot, we got to adjust that, you know, stuff like that. But it's great to have his background and his knowledge, but also his eagerness to, you know, be educated, informed. And now he's becoming a better producer day by day by asking these questions. And so it gives us that dialogue, and I like the checks and balances, because there are some things, like he said, when I'm dealing with creative parts of it, I got to make sure I have someone who has my back, who's looking at, hey, we're not going to be able to pay this. You know, can we try not to pay this much for this location? This is what we have, just stuff like that. So because it's so easy, but like, we need to get it, let's do it. But then it's like, we don't want to go over budget and then have scrambling to try to get more money. I want to stay in budget and stay so we can, you know, even if we save money here and there, we can use it in places we really need the money. So it's a great 1-2 punch we have. And I just have to commend you, Jeff, because from day one to now, I mean, you've done your work and you've come up with some great stuff. And it's just like, it's so nice to have someone, because I, you know, at first, when I first wrote this film, I felt like I'm going to have to do all this myself. And now I realize there's capable people that are going to help me get this done. And it's so nice to have the team, building the team together. And like you said, Axel, with, it's not two guys and a camera. You know, I want my director to be able to direct. I don't want him to have to worry about this and that, where we can pay people part of our team to do that so he can focus on what he really needs to do and is make a great film. So it all goes hand in hand. But and that's one of the reasons why we do this podcast too. So our backers, who maybe don't, you know, a lot of them might not understand the film business, but like, actually, you're asking amazing questions to really, because I want this podcast to be informative as well. Not just, hey, we're making a film. This is great. This is cool. No, this is the, you're getting the nuts and bolts of what goes into it. And it's not all like, you know, roses and you know, chocolate covered strawberries. But you know what? I enjoy it so much. It kind of is. So anyway, Jeff, don't feed it.
Oh, man, that sounds good. Chocolate covered strawberry.
I know. A little champagne.
I like that.
Boy, does the... I didn't know that the Roach. I didn't know that the Roach Coach served chocolate coach strawberries.
The Roach Coach. What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. You're the one in the pantry.
You're from the East, and you don't know what a Roach Coach is?
Yeah. What is?
That's the old school catering van, man, who comes up and serves the coffee and the sandwich, the wrapped sandwiches.
Oh, okay.
They used to call those the Roach Coach.
Ah. We just called it Ziggy's Wagon at Syracuse. It was Ziggy who just had nachos and burgers at 3 a.m. Anyway, the good old days.
That sounds good. All right, let's get back to the movie.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, let's get back.
Roach Coaches. So you're mentioning you wanted to talk, I think, a little bit about the rewrite. And have you guys finished that up? What's going on with that?
Yes, we as of last Wednesday, the finale was written. Basically, what we're at now, I mean, this thing has gone through many drafts. But I wanted, because Giles is also a writer as well, and so I wanted him to do a pass. I mean, I had the blueprint down, a lot of the plot elements, dialogue, characters, but it needed a new set, a new mindset. So what we did was I had him do a pass, and what he would do is – go over a few scenes, rewrite some stuff, structure some stuff, and then send me 5 to 10 pages. I would look at it, give him my notes. We discuss what's working, what's not. And we did it in parts. And it worked very well because he would send me pages and I'd be like, you know, there's some things we still need to fix, like a little dialogue thing, some dialogue stuff here and there. But for the most part, we worked together. But I kind of let him do this pass on the script because I knew a lot because we needed to structure it a little better at points. And also some characters needed a little more, needed to be changed because there was still some elements from like the buddy cop film. Cause rewriting a script and getting it to a new genre takes a lot of time. So we finally got it to the point where it is where it needs to be. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to workshop some scenes, which is we'll take a couple of the actors, work the scene and see how the characters do with the scene and, you know, make little changes. But for the most part, it is done. It is where we want it to be. When he wrote the finale, like he wrote one scene and I'm not going to spoil it, but a character gets killed in this scene. And I know because I came up with the idea. Okay. And I'm reading the rewrite, and I got so lost in the scene that when this person gets killed, I didn't even see it coming. Like, I knew this is where this person was going to get killed, as I'm reading, I was so into what Giles did that I forgot it was coming, and it surprised me on the page. So I was like, oh, my God. I was, like, blown away with a lot of stuff he came up with. And I am honestly, Jeff, Axel, I am so excited where the script is right now. Like, I am so excited to make this film. It's exactly where it needs to be, and it's good. I mean, I'm not just saying it. It is good, and it's gonna be. Man, I'm just so excited. I want to like tell you everything, but I can't. I don't want to spoil just yet. If I ever want to, I mean, you guys will read the script, so you'll know. But a lot of our listeners, I don't want to spoil the whole film because there's a lot of twists and turns that happen that'll surprise you. And that is the whole point of it, you know, to make the movie. So I want to keep some things to our close backers. I still want to keep in the dark a little bit just because I want you to enjoy the film. But yeah, man, we're at a good point of it right now. And it's, I gave some final notes to Giles this week. He's doing just a little touch-ups. And then we got a meeting this week and we're going to go over it, and then we're going to start thinking about, you know, start getting the locations down, the characters, and start figuring out exactly, you know, what locations we need, what, you know, shoot dates, and get all that fun stuff together so we can then start putting together our cast and crew and stuff. So it's at a really good point. It was a lot of hard work to get here. It's been a year and a half. Giles just buckled down for like 3 weeks or less. And like, there's some times where I had to give him a couple days off because I'm like, dude, you're doing so well. Let it sit, get back to it. And then he was able to really bring it home with the finale, and the finale's fantastic. So I'm a very pleased person right now.
That's awesome, dude. Now, didn't you want to debut some character names? I like these names too.
Yeah. You know, and I'll give you, So there's a few character names. A couple are on IMDb already, but I wanted to reveal some of our characters. So, just a little fun thing so you can get a little taste of what's ahead. So we have...
Do I get to guess where the inspiration for them comes from?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes. This will be fun. This will be fun. Okay. So the first character, the lead, Detective Frank Brody.
Jaws.
Yes. and Frank is my Uncle Skip. Okay. That's his name. But yeah, that's the part I'm going to be playing, Detective Frank Brody. And, yeah, inspired from Jaws. All right. Next, Detective Terrence McQueen.
Steve McQueen.
Yes, and Terrence is his middle name. So, all right, we have Detective Sue Bullock.
Deadwood.
Little Deadwood and a little Sandra Bullock in there,
okay,
both.
Okay.
But I didn't want to call it Sandy Bullock because that's what her real name is. So, yes, I love the Bullock character, Seth Bullock from Deadwood. I love Timothy Oliphant. The Bullock character, I love that name, Bullock. And then Sandra Bullock's one of my all-time favorite actresses, so it came in there. Okay, we have another character, Detective Kate Smith, who is actually also my ex-wife in the film. Give you a little plot line detail. So Kate Smith.
I don't know. Where does that inspiration? Emmett Smith?
Yeah, a little Emmett Smith. Kate from Lost.
Oh, nice.
So we got Kate and Emmett Smith. That's where Kate Smith has come from. Yes. Okay. Emmett Smith. And,
now you do know. Yeah. Kate Smith used to sing God Bless America at the Flyers games in Philadelphia, right?
Did not know that. No. So, Hey.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm sure there are a lot of Kate
Philly,
Smiths.
Jeff, are you originally from Philly?
I'm born and raised in Allentown, so close to Philly.
But close to Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania.
Wow, yeah. You know, my brother went to Kutztown.
Also close to Mechanicsburg, yes.
You know, Kutztown, yes. Is that
that's
near
the
there?
Hop, skip, and jump.
Andre Reed.
Say. Yeah, absolutely,
that's
yes.
Where my brother went. He had a yes. Little TV show there called Hanging Out with Ray Foley.
Dude, I like that.
Yeah.
All right, we got three left. So we have... This one is going to be really easy, but Jeff has a little back. Captain Roy Aikman.
Oh, I don't know where that's from. It doesn't sound like anything to me.
No. Troy Aikman, my all-time favorite football player. So we got Captain Aikman. I made it Roy. I don't want to get too goofy, but it's really, when it comes down to it, like almost every character has a reason that I named them. Just my influences in life. And just people that inspired me. So it's not more of like a comedy thing or any. It's more just my little homage to my influences in life. So Jeff, I didn't know this until you wrote it in the notes that you have a connection with Troy Aikman. I couldn't believe this.
It's a distant connection. Yeah, yes. Okay. Yes. So my wife's maiden name is Aikman, and if you go back into the family tree, Troy Aikman is, I don't know, second or third cousin or something from the family. So, ironically, we have a nephew who looks very much like Troy from the facial feature perspective. Yeah, obviously, I don't think he can throw a football for the life of him. I'm sorry I said that. he does bear resemblance to him.
Get him to be an extra so we can be like, hey, look at that. So. All right.
We could.
Yeah. We got two more left. And so we have Dr. Ocean Cannavale.
Oceans and Bobby Cannavale.
right. So Ocean's, of course, Ocean's 11, and there's actually a Pearl Jam song called Oceans that I love.
Nice.
And Cannavale, yes, because the guy playing the actor playing Dr. Ocean Cannavale is this actor. His name is Abhi Trivedi, and he looks just like Bobby Cannavale. So originally, in the comedy one, his role was going to be Dr. I don't even remember what his name was now. It was not Dr. David Beckham. It was like Donnie Beckham or something. And there was a line, hey, do you bend it like him? And he was like, what? What does that mean? And I'm like, whatever. So originally it was going to be after my boy David Beckham, but we changed it to Ocean Cannavale. So, or OC for short. And we have the last one I'm revealing today. We have assistant medical examiner Alexandra Krejci. Any thoughts on there?
No, I don't know.
All right. Well, Alexandra, I just like the name. I've always liked that name. But but
don't
Krejci,
think we should have got that one.
Yeah, that one. But Krejci. Okay, so my wife, Renata Kirasintazo, is playing the assistant Emmy. It's a small supporting role, but I want to get her back. She used to be an actress, and I really want to get her in this film. I mean, talk about, paying homage to influences in your life. She's a huge influence in my life, and again, is one of the reasons why I can make this film is because of her support. So Krejci is after one of my favorite hockey players, David Krejci of the Boston Bruins, and Krejci's from Slovakia, which is the split country from Czechoslovakia. My wife's from the Czech Republic, and so Krejci, with her being Czech, it fits. And so that's the reason for that character name.
Nice.
And that's so.
Okay. I got to go back and check the budget. I don't know about that. We got something going on here.
Yeah. The budget, but yeah, there's going to be more and more of these, all my influences from people. And there are actually going to be some, a couple of backers whose names are in the film. But we'll talk about that at a later date. But these characters are finalized. These are some of the main characters in the movie. So I wanted to just give it out there in my influences. Hey, that was kind of fun. I liked the guessing game, Axel. That was pretty good.
It was good. All right. Well,
And actually, it's all news to me too because he hasn't revealed anything to me about the script rewrites or any of the characters. So. I'm just as amused as you are, Axel.
Well, I don't want to. I mean, you know some things, but I want to present you once the script is ready to. I want to present it to you when it's there, because you're my back end. When I bring you to the front end, Jeff, I want make sure the script is complete so you can enjoy it and read it. And
yeah,
you know.
He's got to trim the front end, boy. And make sure it's ready for you. All right, well, let's move on. You got some updates on t-shirt design, and we're going to talk a little bit about the topics for the next podcast, kind of wrap things up, but you had some what's up with it? I want a t-shirt.
Oh, you're getting a t-shirt, Axel. Don't you worry, buddy.
I love t-shirts.
Yeah, my good friend Del Pettigott, who's does many things in life, but he is my he's a great artist, great graphic designer, and he's had some prototypes for our t-shirt design, because people who donated $100 or more get a exclusive t-shirt. Now, what we're going to do is we're working on trying to figure out a cool design. So that's in the works. What we're going to do is there's going to be two types of t-shirts. So one is the backers who donated and the cast and crew. There's going to be I think only like 100 made of these t-shirts, and those are going to go to, you know, the Kickstarter backers, our cast and crew, and special people get these. And when they run out, that's it. But we're also going to create another t-shirt that we're going to sell on the website and do stuff for a later date. But I want to make sure that the exclusive one is just, it's that design. It's for those certain people that donated and who are a big part of this production and get that. And then we'll have a different design where people will be able to purchase some, and we'll probably give some away when we, with, in a little game sweepstakes, stuff like that, you know, at the premiere, you know, there's a lot of fun stuff we can do. But yeah, so we're working on that. I don't want to quite get the shirts out until we're in production or around that time, but I got to talk to my money man, Jeff, when he wants to give out the, when we have to give out the t-shirts. I don't want to just make them now, send them out, and then it's like, great, but there's no we want to get it to during promotional time so people can get excited and be like, oh, this is the shirt. Yeah, this movie's coming out in 2 months or something, you know. So, and then our next pod, by then we should have, you know, some information on what we did about locations, get that that food budget tidy up. And hopefully, you know, I don't know if we'll have casting news by next time, but it's definitely possible. I'll update people on the Kickstarter, to let us know, you know, let us know where we're at, but we'll, you know, it'll be some time before the next pod, but I want to make sure we do the next pod with more information and all that good stuff. So yeah, that's some stuff to look forward to. Now we're getting into kind of the really fun stuff when we start to cast the film and get higher crew, and we'll be able to announce some of those things on the next pod, as we finalize some stuff. And Jeff, did you want to touch upon your, Brown City Liquors or, Cthulhu Music or anything like that you forgot? Oh, what is it? Wait.
Brown City Liquor. He's just making stuff up.
What is it
now.
Called? Brown Liquor Sinners.
Brown Liquor Sinners.
Oh my
Sinners.
God.
Brown
Your brother's going to kill me.
Music.
Brown City. Your brother's going to kill me. But what I want.
When he hears oh, this, he's going to be on the phone with me.
I know. Okay. Oh, I'm going to clear it up right now. It's not Brown City Liquors, the store. It's Brown Liquor Sinners.
I like Brown City Liquors, though. That sounds liquor or liquors.
Well, if it's a store. Oh I see what liquor. You're saying. Liquor. Yeah, like yeah
liquors,
I got liquor.
Brown City Liquors.
Ooh. Well, see, one of the big things one of the big things is, you know, we want to do a soundtrack for the film and, you know, have music in the film, of course. So this is definitely something in the works with our boy J.E. Mertz, and you know, a very talented, lad, even though if I get names screwed up, it's all in good fun. now people are going to remember it even more because I screw it up. See, you know how, you know, when it's midnight, you know, it happens. But no, and we're going to have on the pod, like you heard a little intro music, we're going to play a song. Each pod will play a new tune at the end so you can kind of get, you know, get his music out there and, you know, have a little fun with the pod and listen to some tunes, baby.
Yeah. So we've got two. So just put it all together real quick. We got the Brown Liquor Sinners, and Cthulhu Music, both, by my brother, and, different styles of music. So the Brown Liquor Sinners, I believe you might have listened to the EP or some clips from it, but it's a little bit darker and grittier. So we're kind of thinking some of that could be used in this type of film because of the type of film it is, with the murders and the dark scenes and the back alleys and some other locations that I don't know about yet.
So, oh, you will.
So I've been kept in the dark.
Jeez, I'm getting trashed here, actually.
Yeah, so
my producer's killing me here.
And he's also working on some other tunes as well to kind of support the movie. So once the script, you know, kind of we get some more information from it and a little bit more details about the scenes and who's in them, he's ready to start recording some stuff. And what he likes to do is these smaller tracks, not these full length 3-4 minute songs, just, you know, these minute clips, just to provide that background, that all that kind of grabs you as you're walking down the alley. And I don't know if this is in the film, but this is how I envision it, of somebody walking down the alley and there's a body laying there and it becomes into a crime scene and et cetera, et cetera. He knows the rest, but that's the kind of vibe that we're going for with this type of music. So there are some things in progress. There's one called Evil Man which is starting to get produced. It's up in the cloud somewhere, and somebody's inspecting it. And once that gets released, it'll be available on all the formats, as well as his other music is iTunes, Spotify, Deezer, iHeartRadio, all that crap that I don't know about. And then the other one, which is forthcoming, is titled "Scene at the Scene of the Crime." Little play on words there. Mm-hmm. So I have not heard any clips from that yet, but that sounds like it's going to be an interesting one.
I can't wait for Brody's theme. When Brody's theme, I'm going to play it 24 hours. When Brody's
just theme, walk around with like a little player in your pocket. You'd put it on your phone. So when you walk into a room, just you start it just before you walk into the room so people can hear it, and then you just walk in. I like it.
Hey, they had Crockett's theme in Miami Vice. I want Brody's theme, and I'm just gonna.
We can do it. We can do this.
Yeah, and a lot of that.
So maybe in the future, maybe a couple podcasts down the road, once we get more details about what's going on, we could bring them on and introduce them and kind of get some of this extra backstory about the Brown City. Sorry, sounds Brown good. Liquors.
Brown City.
Brown City Liquors. Yeah.
We got a brown. We got a city. We got a liquor on my titty. And a lot of that too, once we get stuff shot, you know, the process, you know, whether it's scoring or we need an actual lyrical song, you know, a lot of musicians, from my experience, and Axel, you would know, you know, you kind of see the visual and then that'll inspire as well.
Yeah.
To create music and to figure, oh yeah, I know the perfect thing for this. So that's again another fun part of it. It's the creative process. So Brown City Liquors. You know it's going to change. You know he's changing the name. Brown Liquors. Maybe.
No, he's going to be trademarking another band name, I guess.
I'm getting that website as soon as this podcast is over. BrownCityLiquors.com.
God, Star Brown Wars. City Liquors.
All right, guys. Well,
all right.
Leo, you want to wrap Jeff Heath? Do you have anything else that you want to chat about, or you want to wrap this motherfucker up?
No kitchen. Jeff, any final words, buddy?
Man, just a lot more to come. This is just the tip of the iceberg. It's been a real joy working with you and being in your back end. It's just been fantastic.
Fantastic.
I can't wait to California to open up so I can get on a plane and get out there and rekindle our playlist.
Yes. Yeah. We'll definitely rekindle it and play it at our casting crew party in 2027 or whatever it's going to be. No, just kidding. Awesome, brother. I'm glad you came on. It's great to give the perspective, you know, from another person, not just me rambling on. We got a lot of good stuff coming down the pipeline. So, we'll be here to fill you all in. And, it was great. And Axel, you know, you definitely, I know the first pod, I talked a lot about the project, but I'm glad your insight came in on this one because we want to hear more of Axel. So,
wow, thank you, buddy. You know, I wanted to say you were mentioning about the virus and everything, and I know that they're starting to allow limited production to open back up, but it does actually sound just like we were saying on the first podcast, like a month or a little over a month ago, that this time has been well spent for you to go over the script and the pre-production and all that. So it kind of it may have timed out well. And as we continue on, I'll be interested to hear how that may affect the production, because it's a SAG production and you're going to have to do certain things. That mm-hmm. may be a budget item you might want to add to before the next podcast.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be certain protocols we're going to have to go through. And I know SAG has been developing those. So that's a whole nother thing we have to work with. Make sure, you know, if we have to, I don't know if we're going to have to check people's temperature, get people tested, different things, precautionary You know, we may have to wear masks while, you know, and then when the actors go on, they do their thing and then mask up again. I mean, there's going to be a lot of different things that we're, you know, protocol we're going to have to follow. But so we're just trying to get all our stuff we need to get done. And then once we get that window to shoot, because it looks like we're going to have like 3 6-day shoots. So like 6 days, 6 days, 6 days over, you know, looks like over maybe a 5 week period where we, you know, because they're going to be intense long days. So we need a couple of days in between to give people a rest and stuff. So we're going to figure all that out, of course, but we want that window. We definitely want this shot before, you know, before winter. Like, you know, our plan realistically, I would love late August. Latest October would be the latest, September, October. But that looks like to be the frame of time, as long as everything goes well, that we can start production. But I don't want to announce I won't announce anything official just yet. That's our plan right now. So it gives us, you know, like 2.5 months to get all the stuff we need to get done, then go into production. But for our film, the look of the film, fall is a really good time for a lot of the stuff we got to shoot. So that looks to be like the right time to shoot this. So of course we'll, as we do the pods and I send Kickstarter updates out there, I'll let you know, but that's kind of our game plan right now.
Awesome. Yeah. And Chili, we got Chili managing the
so
project.
Chili
schedule.
I got to confirm with Chili first.
All righty. Well, Chili.
But yeah, it's looking like a September time frame is the way it's looking right now. And we've got some things to figure out.
Yeah.
That's just around the corner. It's not too far, you know. June, July, August, September. Those are the months, right? I think I remember those.
Yeah, I think so.
Did I miss one?
No, Axel Ember. Axel Ember.
Axel Ember, yes.
Yeah, that's in between September and October, but, you know, we'll figure it out.
We will. And we'll be back with another podcast here for the Star City Murders Kickstarter. I want to thank Jeff and, of course, Solo for being on. This is awesome. Hopefully we can have you back, Jeff. Maybe you should come back with your brother.
Yeah, we could definitely do that.
I like it.
We could tell.
Yeah.
Get a little brother vibe
interesting
going
story.
On.
Jeez, yeah. And then, you know, me, you, Axel will be four brothers.
There you
It'll
go.
Be the sequel.
Brothers.
Look at that.
All right. Well, we'll talk about that. We'll figure it out. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And, of course, thanks for being a part of this Kickstarter. I'll let Heath take us out because I'm sure he has something to say.
Actually, for once in my life, I don't think I did, Axel. But all right. Episode 2, baby, in the books. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Axel. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. And we'll probably come out at some point. I'm going to say, you know, maybe mid to late July, we'll come up with the next pod. That seems to be the right, you know, after the holiday and all that. And, you know, I want to make sure we do a pod where I have more information to give and we may have different guests, but I'll let you know, we'll figure it out, but sometime in July we'll have the next pod. But thank you guys. And remember, stay safe in Star City.
Lone wolf is crying. The night sky is shining. We're deep down and dirty.